Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Just the Discs. My name's Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. I thought it's been maybe less than a month since my last horror-related episode in October, and why not do, you know, another round? Got a bunch of stuff here to go through. I know you guys like horror like I do, so here we go. I'm going to start with some Scream Factory stuff. Okay, so first up, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Was the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Christmas, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
It says, community leaders tried to stop the release. The PTA fought to ban it. Now, one of the most controversial slasher films of all time is back in a new high-definition release. This new edition of the horror holiday favorite has been restored from the original vaulted film negative. Silent Night, Deadly Night is the heartwarming story of little Billy Chapman, who was traumatized by his parents' Christmas Eve murder, then brutalized by sadistic orphanage nuns. But when grown-up Billy is to dress as Jolly Saint Nick, he goes on a Yuletide rampage to punish the naughty. Santa Claus is coming to town, and this time he's got an axe. Robert Brian Wilson and Scream Queen Linnea Quigley star in this jaw-dropping horror classic that a nation of angry mothers still cannot stop. So this is a really interesting movie, one of a series of, well, I guess a franchise of Silent Night, Deadly Night movies, all relatively inconsistent as far as, like, a general universe. I mean, I don't know. The second film is really entertaining and consists of a lot of footage from this film, and I actually do hope we see a Blu-ray release of that relatively soon. But this one played a little more straight. I remember being affected by it when I was a kid and just thinking it was more intense than I expected. And I think the idea of, you know, a killer Santa Claus is still kind of alarming, you know, because we all have sort of this childlike reverence for the character of old Saint Nick, and to see a guy with an axe killing people in that outfit is still a little, I don't know, tricky. But anyway, a very fun sort of 80s horror classic.
Grandpa? Mom!
What do you want her for? She can't help you?
Nobody can. You're scared, ain't you? You should be. Christmas Eve is the scariest damn night of the year.
I'd be scared too if I was you.
You know what happens Christmas Eve, don't you? You know all about Santa Claus.
He brings presents to all good boys and girls.
Your daddy told you that, didn't he? Well, I tell you something. Santa Claus only brings presents to them that's been good all year. To the ones that ain't done nothing naughty. Naughty. All the other ones. All the naughty ones. He punishes. What about you, boy? You've been good all year? You see Santa Claus tonight? You better run, boy. You better run for your life.
Time to go home, Billy.
Special features include new HD transfer from the original camera negative. That's the theatrical version on disc 1. Disc 2, unrated version. New HD transfer from the original camera negative with standard def inserts. New Sleigh Bells Ring, the story of Silent Night, Deadly Night, featuring interviews with writer Michael Hickey, co-executive producers Scott J. Schneed, Dennis Whitehead, editor, second unit director Michael Spence, composer Perry Botkin, and actors Robert Brian Wilson and Leia Quigley. New Silent Night, Deadly Night film locations, then and now, featurette. New audio commentary with Robert Brian Wilson and Scott J. Schneed. Audio commentary with Michael Hickey, Perry Botkin, Scott J. Schneid, and Michael Spence. So you got two commentaries. And an audio interview with Charles E. Sellier Jr. Something called Santa's Stocking of Outrage and some trailers and stuff. Really nice special edition from Screen Factory. Coming to expect nothing less as far as quality goes from them. Up next, Dawn of the Dead.
Hey, Vivian.
Anna, look, I can go backwards.
Let me see. Hey, that's amazing. Hey.
Hey, you. Vivian? Honey, are you okay?
Officials have declared a state of emergency.
Everybody they kill gets up and kills.
Residents are advised to find a safe place and stay there.
I've just been informed that we are going off the air and switching to the emergency broadcasting system.
Look up the road, there's a lot more of them. Why are they coming here?
Maybe they're coming for us.
Sooner or later, they're gonna get in here.
Our baby's gonna be fine.
It's only a matter of time.
It's coming.
They'll find a way in.
Oh, God.
This is another collector's edition from Scream Factory. This is the Zack Snyder film written by James Gunn, ostensibly a remake of the George Romero classic. I've always been sort of iffy on this movie as a whole. I think the beginning is amazing. Some of the most haunting and creepy stuff. Great child horror scares. But when it gets to the mall, I get a little bit more irritated with the characters. And I don't know, it's so weird to me that Ty Burrell is like one of the main assholes in this movie. Because I'm now so used to seeing him on Modern Family and liking him as this like oafish dude there. But I remember seeing him in this movie and just being like, I hate that guy.
Did you hear that from the same jackass who told us to go to St. Verbena?
Church downtown?
Yeah, that's the first place I went. Some dipshit on the radio said it was safe there. He was wrong.
I started to have a lot more fun and not feel like, oh, I might be doing this wrong, because I'm really playing this guy as a totally nihilistic jerk. But he was. That's what he was.
It's nice to see that you've all bonded through this disaster.
It's kind of weird, but upon this revisit, I did like it and respect it more as a film than I remembered, and it's always nice to get a solid special edition to help with one's reappreciation of a movie. It says, heart-pounding action and bone-chilling thrills power this edgy and frightening remake of George A. Romero's apocalyptic horror classic, Dawn of the Dead, from visionary filmmaker Zack Snyder. This pulse-pounding jolt-a-thon stars Ving Rhames, Sarah Polley, Jake Weber, Mikai Pfeiffer, and Ty Burrell. The world is in danger when a mysterious virus turns people into mindless flesh-eating zombies. In a mall in the heartland, a handful of survivors wage a desperate last-stand battle to stay alive and human. Special features on this one, it's also two discs. Disc one includes theatrical version, new HD master from 2K Original Intermediate, new interviews with writer James Gunn.
When it was discovered that I was writing Dawn of the Dead, I got death threats. I had petitions about how I should be taken off the movie. It was an incredibly difficult time for me in my life because here I was, this guy who had always, you know, at least considered himself like I was the edgy rock and roll screenwriter that I guess people think of me as today, but I had written a Scooby-Doo movie. Well, let me be honest. I wrote two Scooby-Doo movies. And because I had written Scooby-Doo, that's what people knew me as, but I knew myself as something totally different than that. That was, you know, something I spent a few months writing these screenplays for kids' movies that I actually quite liked, you know, writing. I had a good time writing those movies. But it's just a part of what I did. But because of that, it was like Dawn of the Dead is being made by the guy who did Scooby-Doo. He became the hack of all hacks. And it was awful. And Ain't It Cool News, which was the most popular fan site at the time, it was like all of the fan sites put together into one fan site. And Harry Knowles went crazy talking about how it was terrible. But to Harry's credit, he got a hold of the script a couple weeks later and he read the script. And then he went on his site and said, I love the movie. I wish it was called something else other than besides Dawn of the Dead, but this script is the best zombie script in many, many years. And so that kind of helped change things.
Actors Jake Weber and Ty Burrell, special makeup effects artist David Anderson and Heather Lang, Camp Anderson. That's kind of cool. New behind-the-scenes footage from David Anderson, deleted scenes with optional commentary by director Zack Snyder and producer Eric Newman, and then from Disc 2, the unrated version of the film, new HD master from the 2K Digital Intermediate with HD inserts, audio commentary with Zack Snyder and Eric Newman, Splitting Headaches, Anatomy of Exploding Heads featurette, Attack of the Living Dead featurette, Raising the Dead featurette, Andy's Lost Tape featurette, Special Report Zombie Invasion featurette, and Mockumentary Undead and Loving It. And then lastly, Drawing the Dead featurette. So a really thorough collector's edition of this movie, well worth getting for sure. Next up is one more from Scream Factory, and this is Land of the Dead, also a collector's edition.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Unburied dead are coming back to life seeking human victims.
We don't know how many of them there are.
Do you think we'll be able to defeat these things?
We don't really know.
And moving toward the city.
There's nothing there, man.
They're communicating. They're thinking.
George A. Romero's Land of the Dead.
Zombies, man. They creep me out.
This one is from George Romero, continuing his Dead universe. And I'm a big fan of this one. I like this quite a bit. I like how he sort of extends some of the commentary he's making in Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, he's got bigger ideas on his mind when he's making these zombie movies, and I just appreciate that. And sometimes he misses, and the movie doesn't turn out so great in some of the later parts of the Dead series, but I do enjoy this one. It says, legendary filmmaker George A. Romero returns to unleash another chapter in his zombie series. In this new tale of terror, Romero creates a harrowing vision of a modern-day world where the Walking Dead roam a vast, uninhabited wasteland, and the living try to lead, quote, normal lives behind the high walls of a fortified city. A new society has been built by a band of ruthless opportunists who live in luxury in the towers of a skyscraper, high above the less fortunate citizens who must eke out a hard life on the streets below.
Mr. DeMora.
Boss.
How was Uniontown?
Dead.
Death intrudes on us even in the green, I'm afraid. I heard about what happened with my neighbors, and I'm grateful for your help.
Well, that's what I'm here for, boss, to take care of any problems you got. And look, I got you a little present, a little souvenir from town. I know you're used to better vintage than this, but it's the best we got. Little champers, take the edge off things. There we go.
A Well, this is very extravagant.
Yeah, well, I can afford it. Oh, with the 20 grand you owe me from last night and the money from all the other nights together, I got enough of my own place.
You mean here in the green?
Yo, why not?
I'm sorry, Mr. DeMar, but there's a very long waiting list.
Well, how long?
Well, this is an extremely desirable location. Space is very limited.
You mean restricted, don't you?
Well, I do have a board of directors, and I have a membership committee. They have to approve.
Don't do this to me. Don't. How long have I been working for you? 3 years? Taking out your garbage, cleaning up after you? And then you're going to say I'm not good enough? Let me tell you something. You're going to let me in, because I know what goes on around here. Do your committee members know what the fuck is going on with the garbage? So you're going to let me in, hear me?
Maybe we could talk about this when you're a little less excited. I won't be needing this man anymore.
With the survival of the city at stake, a group of mercenaries is called into action to protect the living from the evolving army of the dead waiting outside the city walls. Land of the Dead features a cast of great actors including Dennis Hopper, Simon Baker, Asia Argento, Robert Joy, and John Leguizamo. So yeah, this one's really cool. I like Hopper in it, and Leguizamo's good too. It's just got an interesting story, like I said, an interesting commentary. This is also a double disc set with unrated and theatrical versions. Disc one is the theatrical, and it says it features new 2K scan of the inner negative, new Cholo's Reckoning, an interview with actor John Leguizamo.
If it wasn't for this truck, I wouldn't be any different than that poor Mexican bastard out there.
Cholo, look, Kaufman might not pay, you know.
Kaufman's gonna pay, man. But if he doesn't, he knows I'm gonna do a jihad on his ass.
I mean, when dialogue is great, you don't need to improvise. But when some things need filling out or just needs a little more sort of tailoring to who you are, then improvisation sort of blends those lines. So the character and the actor become one, you know, and I think that's what improv does. And he was all for that, you know. We improvised a lot. You know, and I would show him the dialogue that I wanted to try, and then Simon Baker's, you know, he's an old school actor, so that I love that. So we would spend time together in his trailer, going over the scenes, talking. Then George would come in and, you know, tweak it. It was fun. That's the way I like to work. And he was very, very cool because, you know, he writes the script himself, but he's really open to letting you, you know, improvise and come up with stuff, but sometimes you don't even have to because it's so well written.
New Charlie's Story, an interview with actor Robert Joy. New The Pillsbury Factor, an interview with actor Pedro Miguel Arce. New Four of the Apocalypse, an interview with actors Eugene Clark, Jennifer Baxter, Boyd Banks, and Jasmine Geljo. Dream of the Dead, director's cut with optional commentary by director Roy Frumkes.
You know, I enjoy the collaboration of others, and I think it's the best way to make a film. I'm not like a tyrant or insisting on this, or, you know, Christ, this ashtray, this is the wrong ashtray for this scene. Mm-hmm. You know, give me a break.
Yeah.
It's a collaborative medium, and you really need to, you need to let people contribute. And I think that very often, you know, those contributions are either rejected or not welcome or something, and man.
George wants to have a family atmosphere on every one of his films. That is what he wants. He can't stand tensions. This is for real. And he can't stand political problems, which is, I think, one of the main reasons he doesn't want to deal with Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to expect. You know, talented people are usually really cool and mellow and happening. But you never know. He might be a tyrant, you know? And he ended up being cool and all the things that I expected somebody of greatness to have. He's easy to work with, very collaborative, has always that extra take on scenes when you're doing what you do best, but there's always a little extra thing that he comes up with that really puts a spin on it. And all of a sudden you find yourself going, oh yeah, I didn't think of that. That could be a nice little twist to what I'm doing. And he does that.
It's not the minute-by-minute stuff that takes it out of you. It's the overall situation. And it's not the cold or the conditions or anything else. It's just, you know, are you getting what you want? And that's really what bugs me. I mean, I could stand there in colder temperatures for more nights if everything was coming off well. And, you know, it's hard. I mean, you know, people say, well, geez, you finally had a big budget for a zombie movie. And we didn't. I mean, you know, the budget on this film was like, you know, 2/3 of the budget for like the remake of Dawn. And so it was still guerrilla stuff. And we barely met. I mean, we just got the 42 days, you know, that were originally scheduled. There was no extra time. It was whap, 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 whap. And it was constantly with the wolf at the door, you know. The wolf was biting at your ass the whole way.
Deleted footage from The Dream of the Dead. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool that they included that Frumkes stuff. And then disc 2, the unrated version. New audio commentary with zombie performers Matt Blazy, Glenn Chow, Michael Felsher, and Rob Mayer. Audio commentary with writer-director George A. Romero. Undead Again, the making of the Land of the Dead featurette, Bringing the Dead to Life. Special makeup effects featurette with Greg Nicotero. Scenes of Carnage. Zombie effects from green screen to finish scenes. Scream tests, zombie casting call. Bringing the storyboards to life. A Day with the Living Dead. When Sean Met George. Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright visit the set. All fun little featurettes. So that's it for the Scream Factory titles. Next up, I've got one from Warner Archive that I'm really excited about, and that's Night School from 1981, I believe.
When darkness descends on the city, something happens to the girls who attend night school.
You're not walking home alone tonight, are you? After what happened?
We'll be all right.
Something secret.
Modern man has only to take a short step to wind up in the primeval jungle of his ancestors.
Something forbidding.
Well, we've had a few kooks in Boston in our time, but headhunters, not too many.
Who's there?
Prepare for a lesson in terror. Night School.
Okay, so it says they work by day, take a full schedule of classes all night, and somehow find time for study and an occasional date. Women in the evening curriculum at Boston's distinguished Wendell College do a lot to get ahead in life, but there's someone who will go to even greater lengths. Someone will do anything to get ahead. A little joke there. A little decapitation joke there, folks. A killer whose MO is the ritualistic decapitation of victims makes terror a required course at night school. Directed by Kenneth Hughes, who I guess directed Casino Royale in 1967. Wow. And starring Rachel Ward in her screen debut, Leonard Mann plays the homicide lieutenant assigned to the puzzling case. He has hunches, not clues, suspects, not evidence, and a rising body count. Finals are coming early this year at Wendell, and for those who don't make the grade, heads will roll. Very nice. So yeah, this is a neat little, somewhat neglected slasher from the early 80s boom, and it's definitely got its reputation among horror fans, but I still feel like it's a little bit overlooked. It's very much like an American Giallo type film. You've even got like a gloved killer with a motorcycle helmet kind of thing going, and I don't know, I just like a cool killer like that. But Rachel Ward is delightful and lovely, and yeah, I'm a big fan of this one. I'm also a big fan of Warner Archive cranking out the horror stuff, and I hope they, you know, put out Killer Party and some other things they put out on DVD in the near future. But Night School is definitely worth picking up. Next up, I've got kind of a thriller from Indicator called See No Evil from 1971.
I'd forgotten how lovely it is up here. I shall miss it.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm only here for a few days. I'm going to London next week on a training course.
Training? What for?
Well, I'm not rich, you know. I have to work to support myself.
Yes, but what's the training for?
Oh, physiotherapy. There's quite a lot of blind physiotherapists. And I'd be doing something useful.
Does that mean you'll be staying in London?
Well, I have friends looking for a flat for me now.
I wish you wouldn't, Sarah. I thought we might pick up where we left off.
Things aren't quite the same, are they?
No, they're not.
It's not just today. It's something you'd be burdened with forever.
Don't go, Sarah.
And it says, in the English countryside, Sarah Rexton, Mia Farrow, recently blinded in a horse riding accident, moves in with her uncle's family and gallantly adjusts to her new condition, unaware that a killer stalks them. After her former boyfriend Steve presents Sarah with a new horse and suggests they resume their romance, she returns home and discovers the bodies of her murdered relatives. A cat and mouse game commences as the sightless woman evades the killer while trying to learn his identity. So, this has got a couple cool things about it. First, it's directed by Richard Fleischer, who I like quite a bit, who did a ton of movies going way back, you know, Compulsion, The Vikings, The Boston Strangler, 10 Rillington Place, The Last Run, The New Centurion, Soylent Green, Mr. Majestic, Amityville 3D, Red Sonja, Conan the Destroyer. Anyway, he's a cool director. I like him a lot. He's done a lot of good stuff. And then also, the music is by the great Elmer Bernstein, who comes up a lot on this show, and I have no problem with that, as I love Bernstein. So that's a cool little extra thing. This, like I said, is from Indicator. I'm very excited that this is, I think, the first Blu-ray of this movie that I've seen. And it comes with some features here. High definition remaster, original mono audio, something called Blind Terror, the alternative UK cut. Norman Eshley on See No Evil, 2017, 11 minutes. A new interview with the British actor. The two versions are a detailed comparison of the differences between the US and UK cuts. Alternative Italian title sequence, original theatrical trailer, image gallery, limited edition exclusive 36-page booklet with a new essay by Chris Fujiwara, an interview with Richard Fleischer, and an overview of contemporary critical responses. Yeah, so this is another great Indicator Blu-ray. I'm such a fan of what they're doing. I hope you're checking them out, as this is an all-region disc, much like, you know, like 90% of their releases are all region. But yeah, this is a neat little sort of forgotten thriller horror movie, very much in the vein of Wait Until Dark and stuff like that, but I think really well played. I want to say Tarantino was a fan of this somehow. Maybe he bought it on Laserdisc from the old video store I used to work at. For some reason, I associate this movie with him, and I can't remember why. Anyway, well worth getting. See No Evil. Next up, another thriller horror type movie, and that is Night Kill from 1980.
James Franciscus, Michael Connors, and Robert Mitchum in Night Kill. Jacqueline Smith is the target in her first major motion picture, Night Kill, the suspense chiller that will make your blood run hot. Night Kill, a diabolical thriller.
This one's from Kino Lorber Studio Classics. And it says, newly mastered in HD, a bored rich industrialist wife plots to kill her husband and have her lover assume the dead man's identity. The marriage between wealthy and cold-hearted tycoon Wendell Atwell, Mike Connors, and his adulterous wife, Catherine, Jacqueline Smith, has soured, and there seems to be no way out except divorce, which Wendell has refused. Catherine and her lover, James Franciscus, deviously hatch a plot to murder her millionaire husband. She hires a world-weary private eye, Robert Mitchum, which I think is a really cool choice, as he played an aging Philip Marlowe in a couple other movies. But to find her missing husband, but fails to inform the investigator that she knows full well the whereabouts of her husband. Difficulties arise when the investigator ends up being much better at his job than she originally expected, and he may or may not have some ulterior motives of his own. Hollywood veteran Ted Post, magnum force hang 'em high, directed this top-notch cat-and-mouse thriller filled with fear, intrigue, mystery, and panic. The strong supporting cast includes Sybil Danning, Fritz Weaver, and Michael Anderson Jr. Sybil Danning is always a welcome addition to any movie. She is, you can see why she's a cult actress when you watch her in just about anything. She's just got a certain style and obviously a certain look. But yeah, I like this movie. I think it's interesting. And I had a big crush on Jacqueline Smith when I was in like third grade or something. Anyway, so this is cool. This one I only remember seeing on VHS, so it hasn't been a big, I mean, maybe it came out in DVD, but I certainly haven't seen it since the VHS days, so this is a nice one to have. It includes, as a special feature, an interview with star Jacqueline Smith, which was cool, and an audio commentary by film historians Howard S. Berger and Nathaniel Thompson. So that is Night Kill. Next up, I have another one from Kino Lorber Studio Classics. This one is Night Angel from 1989.
From the producers of Night of the Demons.
Her beauty would captivate men's hearts. Her powers would damn their souls.
Put me on the cover.
On the cover? Let's not get greedy here.
I've been on the phone this morning with the police.
What?
Joseph Crenshaw was murdered last night.
Oh, no.
Did you invite her?
I wish.
She's fantastic.
Hey, Reeve, what's this room right here about a new photo shoot?
Oh, it's no room. I've decided to go ahead with a new cover.
Lust is her life force. She's coming again, and this time she'll be stronger.
Night Angel. Tonight, you'll be hers forever.
The little tagline at the front says, an ancient evil has awakened, and lust is her life force. So this is one I don't think I'd heard of before this Blu-ray, so it was kind of neat to see it. It's got special makeup effects by Steve Johnson, who ain't no slouch. Yeah, no, it's good stuff. And a cool cast. The back says, a terrifying centuries-old evil has awakened in the form of the wicked, voluptuous Lilith, Issa Anderson. Lilith uses her beauty and her insatiable lust as a potent life force, which spreads death and destruction to all who dare to succumb to her charms. Posing as a cover girl for a fashion magazine, Lilith becomes the object of insane desire for all who brave her seductive gaze. Only true love can withstand her awesome powers, and only one man, Lyndon Ashby, Mortal Kombat, is strong enough to test them in a frightening test of will and death tango with Night Angel, the Mistress of Hell. The supporting cast includes Deborah Feuer, Helen Martin, Doug Jones, and Karen Black. All right.
I've been on the phone this morning with the police.
What?
Joseph Crenshaw was murdered last night.
Oh, no. Oh, Rita, come on.
So were his wife and child.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe this.
No.
So now what?
We should go on as scheduled. We have a deadline to meet, and I think we should all just concentrate on getting this issue out.
Yeah, what about the party?
The party will be held tonight, as planned.
Well, that ought to be fun.
Well, Craig, for better or for worse, it's too late now to cancel. Several of our largest advertisers have flown in just for the occasion. We'll tone things down, but I think more than ever now we should present a strong face. I think the last thing Joseph would have wanted would be for this magazine to fall apart.
Night Angel was directed by Dominique Othenin-Girard, who did Halloween 5 and Omen 5, with a screenplay by Joe Augustin, Night of the Demons, Night of the Demons 2, and Walter Joston. So yeah, very amusing and interesting horror sort of forgotten gem. And Kino Lorber has decked this puppy out with a lot of extra features, which is great. Clearly this movie has a following that I wasn't aware of. But the special features include audio commentary with director Dominique Othenin-Girard, moderated by filmmaker Heather Buckley, audio commentary by Paul Korup of KenExploitation.com and film historian Jason Pachonski, interview with star Issa Jank, interview with screenwriter Joe Augustin, interview with Steve Johnson, special makeup and effects designer and creator, and a trailer. So lots of good stuff for horror fans. This is definitely a, you know, maybe worth a blind buy for people into late 80s, early 90s horror that you're looking for a new and interesting stuff that you haven't seen. Night Angel, worth your time. And next up I have something a little campy. Satan's Cheerleaders from 1977.
Show the guys a few things about football.
Did you see that? My entire team is going to get racked up by a bunch of cheerleaders.
And we
can show anybody a few things about thriving. Well, nobody's perfect. Not even Satan's cheerleaders. And we even show how to smear the other team.
Terrific! We're ready to throw a pass, and we end up with a guy who can't even catch the ball.
Hey, what's going on here? What do you think you're doing?
We're having an orgy. What's it to you?
Want to join the fun?
You all think you're so smart, don't you? Well, you ain't. You ain't so damn smart after all. You just wait and see.
Somebody's always trying to spoil our fun.
But we have a devil of a good time.
We will perform the Black Mass, just as in the ancient ritual.
You can't mean it. A sacrifice?
And I just picked me up some cheerleaders going to get what's coming to them.
You won't believe this. They're going to kill us. Come on, we got to get out of here.
Back.
What'd you hear?
There's no time.
They're witches. They pray. I know the secret. Full moon, killing things.
But one thing I'm certain of. She has the power.
He's trying to kill us. He's the leader of some kind of crazy devil cult.
Holy Father.
Zombies, goon!
Is she the unsoiled maiden? Is she the one chosen to be your bride?
Are you kidding, man? I'm no maiden. I've been a cheerleader for 3 years.
Bring the big one.
What do you mean, big one? I have big ones, bigger than most. Is that it?
And you. You have no power.
Satan's cheerleaders, we got the power!
When Satan's cheerleaders get the power,
watch out, you're gonna have a devil of a good time.
It says, a satanic altar at the high school bodes ill will for the students. Bill, the janitor, decides he's had enough of the cheerleaders' teasing. And he brings them to the altar. It's not the Chapel of Love. Yeah, so this is from VCI, who's been putting out some interesting stuff. They've done like film noir, they've done horror, they've done low budget stuff. One called The Aftermath, which I really want to check out. One of those like rich guy makes a movie and casts himself. Anyway, that's for another episode. But yeah, this is fun. You know, satanic cheerleaders. It says funnier than The Omen, scarier than Silent Movie. Very funny. But this is from director Graydon Clark, who did Joysticks. And Wacko and some other Joe Don Baker stuff. He did Without Warning, which has a nice Blu-ray from Scream Factory. But yeah, this is just a good, campy, sexy, cheerleader horror movie kind of thing. Yeah, I like this movie. It's goofy and fun, and they got some nice special features here. It has a commentary track with director Graydon Clark, commentary track with genre film director David Dakota and film historian David Del Valle. Those are both great tracks, worth picking up alone for those. But yeah, I don't know, if you're a fan of Graydon Clark's work, I mean, this is definitely a must have. It goes right in with your Black Shampoo and your whatever else Graydon Clark movies you have. The cast includes Yvonne DiCarlo, John Carradine, and John Ireland. I like seeing those kind of actors slumming it a little bit in a cheesy movie like this.
I'm working, man. The man stops working to talk. It just isn't good economics, if you know what I mean.
No, I'm sorry, I really don't. It means he wants some bread, right, Pop?
At your service, ladies.
But definitely worth a pickup if you want something fun for a Friday night. So that's Satan's Cheerleaders. And lastly, we have Web of the Spider from 1971.
Mr. Poe, it's Alan. It's Alan Foster. How do you do, sir? You know, I've read that story of yours, but hearing you tell it sounds real.
Oh, yes. Yes, I recognize you now. From your voice, may I introduce you to Lord...
Lankwood. How do you do, sir?
I invited him here especially for you.
Oh, really, sir?
You know, this Alan Foster, the American reporter I told you about. He's been following me around like a hound for an interview. What he's going to write about, I have no idea. Probably going to talk...
Oh, well.
They always do.
I admit I have been following you, Mr. Poe. But one thing should be reasonably obvious. I wouldn't have to come all the way to London to say bad things about you, sir.
Well, this is my first visit to England, and it'll definitely be my last.
Why is that? Has England disillusioned you?
Well, first, let me explain that I'm not a novelist. But a reporter like you, everything that I've written to date, actually...
But Mr. Paul, you have revealed in your stories that death is only the beginning of something. That's against the facts. Certainly everything ends. Life finishes at the very point of death. And there's nothing after death. Nothing.
You're confusing the tomb with death, Mr. Foster.
What do you mean?
Whiskey, sir.
Thank you. I don't understand.
No, of course not.
Now, this comes from Garage House Pictures, which is a label I haven't talked about enough on the show, and I hope to do more of soon. But if you're not aware of them, they're quietly cranking out lots of interesting genre films and trailer compilations. I highly recommend looking up Garage House Pictures on Facebook to get a sense of what they have going and what they're working on. This one is pretty obscure, and I'd never heard of it until this release. The back says, an intrepid reporter by the name of Alan Foster, Anthony Franciosa, accepts a wager from Edgar Allan Poe, played by Klaus Kinski, and his companion, Thomas Blackwood, to spend a single night in the reputedly haunted Blackwood Castle on All Souls' Eve.
I'm willing to wager £100 that you don't have the courage to spend a night in my castle at Providence. Alone.
Are you saying that I'd flee with terror?
No, you wouldn't flee. Of all those who have tried, and Mr. Poe well knows this, no one has ever come out of the castle afterwards.
It's a pity, but I can't take on your wager. I'm sorry.
Well, you're a very wise young man. I've heard a great deal of this Providence Castle and was seriously thinking of writing about it.
You see, I've asked Mr. Poe to find me a courageous man in the hope that he could put an end to this terrible legend. But you're a likeable young man, and I'm glad that you can't accept the wager.
It's not that I don't want to, it's just that I don't have £100.
You mean you would be disposed for £10?
Yes, certainly. Whenever you'd like me to.
Tonight, then. Could be you'll have an adventure which will convince you that I do not tell stories of pure fantasy. Tonight it is.
Shortly after settling in to the spooky abode, the reporter meets the beautiful Elizabeth Blackwood, Michelle Mercier, and begins to witness ghostly phenomena and visitations from beyond the grave as an assortment of specters relive the last moments before their ghastly murders. Soon, Foster realizes that the damned spirits of Blackwood Castle require human blood to continue their unnatural existence. One of the last Italian Gothic horror films, Web of the Spider, is a color remake of 1964's Castle of Blood, also directed by Antonio Margheriti under the anglicized alias Anthony M. Dawson. Previously only available in the U.S. in a cropped television master, Garage House Pictures is pleased to finally offer this Euro-horror classic in HD for the first time ever, fully restored and mastered from an uncut domestic theatrical negative in its original 2.35:1 widescreen aspect ratio, which is very cool. It's really neat to see a movie like this that's been kind of lost in its, you know, full form for a long time. So yeah, I dug this movie. A little slow in spots, but I feel like Klaus Kinski makes up for things where needed. But yeah, very much like Castle of Blood, if you've seen that one, which I enjoy. Special features include an audio commentary by George Rice and Keith Crocker, audio commentary by Stephen Romano, two German Super 8 movie digests, Antonio Margheriti trailer reel, deleted scene, uncut Italian version in standard def. Yeah, definitely worth picking up this one. And look, like I said, look at Garage House Pictures' other stuff. This particular disc is all region. I think most of their other discs are as well. But definitely start getting into Garage House. It's a good place to be. So that is it for this horror mix. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'm sure I will have more horror probably next month, but definitely very soon. So please have a lovely and Blu-ray-filled week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.